It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and I hope you'll grab your Bible and be ready to study with us. We're studying the life of Jesus, a harmony of the Gospels. Let me read to you this last paragraph of a review lesson that we had, and we had read this in our last class. I'd like to read it again. It says, the study about the life of Christ, implicitly obedient to God's will, spent in going about doing good, self-sacrificing, eventful, heroic, tragical, full of suffering and sorrow, sublime and wonderful, is most awe-inspiring and soul-filling and saving. And that's what we are doing. Studying this beautiful life of this one man in all of its aspects, who was no ordinary man, but was God come to us in the flesh because he loved us and lived a most amazing life. And so, we're going to read this, and we're talking about, in this lesson, his choice of the 12 apostles. And we're going to do a little review to see where we came with his life up to this point in just a moment. Now, before we do that review, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, in studying the life of Jesus in this lesson, we're doing this as a harmony of the Gospels. We're not just studying Matthew, or just Mark, or just Luke, or just John. We're studying them all together, and as best we can, we're arranging what they have told us in a chronological order. And it's by putting all of this together that we get the full story. And so we're calling this, when Jesus chose his 12 apostles, we're saying he did this during his third missionary tour through Galilee. Well, why would we say that? Let's go through a little review here. Remember that much of Jesus' work up to this time, and much that follows, was done in Galilee. Soon after his baptism and temptation, Jesus returned to Galilee with a few disciples he had at that time, and there at Cana, he performed his first miracle, and then made a short visit to Capernaum. We read that in John 2, verses 1 through 12. And if we have the chronology of this correct, and we have the year correctly identified, and there's some dispute about this by just a few years, not many, 2 or 3 years, but this looks like it was in the first of the year of 27. In the spring of that year, he attended the Passover at Jerusalem and cleansed the temple the first time and preached to Nicodemus and spent the summer and fall preaching and baptizing in Judea. Now we read about that in John chapter 2, verses 13 through John chapter 3 and verse 24. Now, the first of that winter, he returned to Galilee and converted the woman at Jacob's well on the way. That's what we read in John chapter 4. He remained in Galilee, it seems, until the spring of 28, when he attended a feast at Jerusalem, supposed by many to be the Passover. That would be found in John 5, verses 1 through 47. He soon returned to Galilee and was rejected at Nazareth, removed to Capernaum, and called his disciples to be fishers of men, and did many miracles, and thence made his first circuit through Galilee. That's not told in the book of John, But we do find it in Matthew 4, verses 12 through 25. Mark chapter 1 and verse 39 refers to this. And there's an account of this tour in Luke chapter 4, verses 4 through 44. He spent all that summer at work in Galilee, and in the fall, he made another tour through that country, and we read about in Luke chapter 8, in the very first part of that chapter. He spent all of the fall and winter of the years 28 and 29 in Galilee, and that brings us down to our present lesson. It's during this third tour that he was rejected the second time at Nazareth, as we read in Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 through 58. Now, Jesus had spent much time preaching and teaching. He spent much of the year 29 in Galilee, as we'll be seeing further on. Much of these 3 years was spent in Galilee. On this tour, Jesus did three things. Number one, he taught in the synagogues. Number two, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. And number three, he healed all the variously afflicted. There is some difference between teaching and preaching. We have a splendid example of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. That's found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. And to preach means to publish abroad and to make known or to proclaim. Now, there's some preaching that doesn't have much Bible teaching to it, and I don't think that's very good preaching. You'll hear preachers stand up and they'll gather an audience that is there to listen to them, and he'll spend a lot of time giving his testimony or telling us what he thinks or talking a lot about some event in his life that taught him a lesson. And a lot of time people are really amazed at such as that, but it doesn't amount to much. You're just listening to the words of man when you do that. But the best preaching is preaching that is Bible teaching preaching. And so that's when the preacher comes up and he has a Bible text and he opens it up and reads from that text and then does like Paul and reasons with us out of the scriptures. The kind of preaching that focuses on the preacher is a very shallow, almost worthless kind of preaching. It might be entertaining and popular, but if it brings any glory to anyone, it brings glory to the preacher. The kind of preaching that glorifies God is the kind of preaching that teaches God's Word. So it's possible to preach without teaching, but that should not be done. We need to teach as we preach. Now, it's also possible to teach without preaching. While preaching is a public proclamation of God's Word, there's also studies that can be done individually. We can sit down one-on-one. Every now and then I'll see someone at a coffee shop or something discussing the Bible, and they can teach one another without preaching. So there is a difference in preaching and teaching. But to repeat, the best preaching is Bible teaching preaching. Now, going from that, Jesus came and proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. He was saying the coming kingdom. In Matthew 4 and verse 17, he's saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, gospel means good news. And in the context of Jesus preaching the gospel, it's the good news that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He showed great generosity in healing all sorts of diseases, but his divine power was manifested in performing these and all miracles to prove that he spoke by divine authority. Hear him in John chapter 10, verses 37 and 38. "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not, but if I do them, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father." We should learn a lesson from Jesus' example in these three general tours through Galilee. He first sowed the seed, and then he cultivated it, and then returned to reap the harvest. Now, in our Sunday school lesson, we have a section here called False Shepherds and Scarcity of Laborers. And the last three verses, or chapter 9, are connected with this lesson. In fact, let me read that to you. We read here in Matthew chapter 9. In fact, I'm going to begin reading in verse 35, the last four verses. It says, "Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sicknesses. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were distressed and scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into his harvest." Notice how that text says, he saw the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion for them, because they were distressed and scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. This shows their spiritual condition. Their pretended shepherds, the scribes, the Pharisees, instead of feeding them and preparing them for Christ's coming, had fleeced them, preyed upon them, and laid upon them burdens grievous to be borne. In compassion for them, Jesus provides help in sending out the 12 apostles to assist in teaching them correctly. I want you to note that Jesus is the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, verses 11 through 14, we read, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, behold, the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf snatcheth them, and scattereth them. He fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine own, and my own know me." Going on with this idea of Jesus the shepherd, he's in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. He is called the great shepherd of the sheep. And in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, he is the chief shepherd. And note further that Jesus has provided shepherds for his flock. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31, in talking to the elders of the church, Paul said, "Take heed unto yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Wherefore, watch ye, remembering by that the space of 3 years I cease not to admonish every one night and day with tears." Peter writes about the elders of the church as shepherds in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. "The elders therefore among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder, and witness of the sufferings of Christ, who am also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Tend the flock of God which is among you, exercising the oversight, not of constraint, but willingly, according to the will of God, nor yet for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, not lording it over them, but being examples to the flock till the chief shepherd appear.